You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Judges and chapter 2. Judges and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you that we can do just that, looking to you, God. Thank you very much. So help us, here we are. God, your day, your time. And thus, give us, help us. Thank you for being ahead of us as we move into the minutes and the hours and the days that lie ahead. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our looking, we're seeking to exercise our understanding of God's wonderful, wonderful plan to have us proceed down the corridor of time in the understanding of a relationship to himself in a dark and darkening world, to go down that corridor of time in a wonderful enjoyment of happiness. Happiness. God is happy, and we shared happiness is the result of hope and holiness. And there, here we are going down, and we're seeking to understand that the better, to put it into practice. Here's Israel. Israel was given the wonderful privilege leaving Egypt and ending up in Palestine. And in the process of doing so, God took them from being smack dab in the middle of idolatry. It couldn't have been worse. Idolatry at its height in Egypt, etc. And he took them out of there and brought them to Mount Sinai through the wilderness into the land. When he brought them into the land, and at Mount Sinai, he told them, but they didn't believe, so that's why they spent 40 years in the wilderness. He said, I'm going to make you a very special people, a prized, privileged people, so that all the earth will see you. And when they see you, they'll find me. When they see you, they'll find me. I'm going to show my wonderful, wonderful person and my wonderful plan for humanity to save whosoever that would believe. I'm going to show that plan by Israel. And I want you to be in the land, and I want you to enjoy that unique personal relationship to me that is most precious and most profitable. I want you to enjoy it. Now, so they went, and here's Judges. And we know that Israel failed. Israel failed. And now, before I go further there, hang on to this here in Judges. And go with me, please, over for a moment to Ephesians and chapter 2. And here we are on planet Earth. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's what we shared this morning, reminding ourselves that people, until they know the Lord as their Savior, they are a light bulb, as it were, with no power. They are spirit, but there's no relationship to God. They need to know the Lord as their Savior. They need to be saved. They're dead, dead, dead. We've been doing that. Christ died. He's dead. Christ died. Why? Because he paid the penalty for our sin, death. We're dead because of sin. The wages of sin are death, Romans 6:23. So, having said that and understanding that, and that's what he wants to go and save us from. Well, And in the light of that, verse 2, wherein in time past, before we came to know the Lord as our Savior, we walked, lived, behaved ourselves according to the course of this world system that we live in, a system that rejects God, according to the prince, the ruler, the power, having authority and power, the prince of the power of the air, that is the devil himself, the spirit that now, N-O-W, is working, present tense, is busy, busy, busy working. So all of us humans on planet Earth, apart from being knowing God as a Savior, we are a whole bunch of dead people. That is, we have no relationship to God. We're missing life. We're missing that relationship. So all of our world, as we're traveling down the corridor of time, here we are, a children of disobedience. We're not believing. And among whom also we also had our conversation in times past, verse 3, past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the world conditions in which we live, that's what you're going to look out the window, read the newspaper, television, everything. We're wonderfully, wonderfully advanced in the sense of taking advantage of all of history's learning from the Egyptians and the Assyrians and everybody else. And the Muslims, and we're taking advantage of all that learning. And here we are, but we're without God. So we have a wonderful, wonderful technical, we have a lot of advantages that never were there, never were there. But they're just advantages. And the human heart isn't in that good a shape. And we are in darkness. And the world system loves darkness. And the world is content with darkness. In other words, we don't want to have light to see where we are and the conditions in which we live on planet Earth. Or read the newspaper, look at crime and everything else, whatever you want to look at, and see the condition, hospitals, wars, or whatever you want to go. That's our world. God is bringing a message to the world by Israel. That is not what God wants. God wants you to be saved and to go from death to life, to go from absence of having any relationship to God to have a wonderful relationship to God. That's what he wants. So here we are looking out our window, and the world has no interest in God, really. When you're all done, religion, yes, a little, but not God. In fact, a religion and politics and patriotism, I just read a thing in that, you probably might have seen it somewhere, all of it's down, gone from 70% to 38% or something. Way down. Just people don't want to go to church. They don't believe in flag. They don't believe in patriotism. Just don't. Going down. So that's our condition. Now, what we're looking at, making it there, back over to Judges. We're looking at trying to understand God is going to try to fix the remedy for them in order that they would get busy and be doing what they should do in planet Earth as God had given his plan. Because of their sin and their failure, they are now gone downhill. The idols and idolatry that were in the land when they went into it are now prevailing. They're now winning. So darkness is winning and light is down, down, down. And the book of Judges, everyone does that which is right in his own eyes. Now, having said that, and therefore God is going to go and put them to the test, and I'll read verse 21 again, 2 and 21. I also will henceforth I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. That purpose, through them, I may prove, put to the test, put on trial, to find out if it's true or false, if it works or it doesn't, that through them I might examine them, Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. In other words, I'm going to test Israel because they have got to be tested again. Verse 23, therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, quickly, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. So he left them, and Joshua dies, the elders die, and we share together. And the people are living in what it was. And going just to back to us, so you can make a comparison, few years ago, to say the least, at different periods of history, our country especially, was very, very moral and ethical in that, and it was. And we had that. We had all that, and the people, church, and in the 40s and all of that thereafter, and the great revival of the Bible, that's where the Scofield Bible came out, and all of those things. We're awakened to the Bible, and the country was. And you would find that across the country. You won't find that today, but you would have found it then. Turn on the radio, all kinds of stations, and good stuff, good. Don't hear it today, all gone. It's all gone. It disappeared. God is Israel. Israel's testimony has disappeared. God wants to try to help them get it back. And they have to understand a number of things. And that's why they're going to be put to the proof, proven, tested in a trial by the nations that they should have driven out. Therefore, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and in Deuteronomy in chapter 7, picking up, if I may, now God, the different stages, God takes each thing along. God understands when a little baby is a little baby, and you got to watch the little baby more carefully in a lot of things. When the little baby is 20 years old, you don't treat it like a little baby. You watch it differently. You're still watching, but you watch it differently. God knows when we are there and trust God to get saved and everything. And God knows that. And God bears us, bears our ignorance, our stupidity. God bears it in his mercy and grace to help us. But when you know better and you don't do it, at 20 years old, God doesn't do the same thing anymore. Now, so here we are, Israel, and they cross the land. They're going to go into the Jordan after this, you know. And here's the word before that, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 16. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I am, they're bigger, better, chariots of iron, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but thou shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all of Egypt, because they're going to remember. And there's no question that the people exiting out of Egypt, crossing, they're going to cross the Red Sea, facing the Egyptian army. There was no comparison. The Egyptian army was something else. Verse 19. The great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people in whom thou art afraid. And here's this Jebusites and the Hivites and the different, they're all there. But you didn't have to be afraid of Pharaoh, did you? I took care of Pharaoh. Verse 20, moreover, the Lord thy God shall send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. In other words, God, what are you going to do? I have all kinds of ways to go and try to get my message. And remember, we just looked at his Pharaoh, and here are the 10 plagues of Moses, by God, 10 plagues, the blood of the water and all that. And here are all the gods of Egypt. And here's God challenging them, each one of them. Bring your gods forward, Pharaoh, and I'll face each one of them. You tell me the God, and I'll tell you what I'll do. Show me the God that you have, Pharaoh, that's like I am, said God. I'm the only God. And you're going to prove you're the only God in the 10 plagues. I'm the only God. I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, having said that, and therefore don't be afraid of the Jebusites and the rest of them, don't be afraid of them. Sliding down, if I can, verse 21, thou shalt not be frightened at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. Sliding down, verse 22, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee, little by little, thou mayest not consume them at once. In other words, I'll read that again slowly. And the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee, by little and little, thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beast of the field increase upon thee. And so what I'm going to do, I could have you go and wipe them out, like when you went and conquered the land in 7 years. I just wipe out, like I wiped out Egypt. I took their army out in one shot. Didn't take me 2 seconds. I piled the water up on each side, and they charged across because they thought you could do it, and they thought they could do it. And I let them all get out in the middle and let it all fall. And I took care of them. I can do that one shot. But in order to help you, little baby, 20-year-old, the little baby, you're going into, and you aren't trained. You're going into fight. I'm going to help you little by little. And therefore, I'm not going to have you fight in each, because what we're doing now, we're going into the land of Israel, and each tribe, each person of you, have your own lot. This is your lot. We don't combine now, because each one of us have our little lot where we live, as it were. And we're to take the enemy that's there, the idols, the idolatry that's there, and win. But we aren't able to handle everything, because if I just take them all out, said God, the animals and the wild brush and everything is going to grow, and you aren't ready to take care of that. So I'm going to help you understand. I'm going to slow it down so that you can handle the change. You can handle the battle. I'm not going to make the fight more than you can handle. So here we are going now. And as we go in, and into the battle, as it were, looking to God to help us, and little by little. Now, what do you know? Don't have to turn there. If you turn to Isaiah and chapter 11, Why? Little by little. It's going to be different than Proverbs, than Job, than Judges. So this is different. This is ahead of time. We're starting out. God's going to help them. And in the process, Isaiah number 11 and that, oh, what are you going to say? What's the future going to be like? God, are you going to have to do it little by little? No, we're going to go in the millennium after the judgment, Matthew 25. After that judgment, God's going to bring them all into the millennium that are saved. And when he brings them into the millennium, it's going to be a wonderful time. Isaiah chapter 11, the wolf and the lamb are going to lay down together. The little kid, little child, will lead lions and bears. The little kids can play, little babies that just crawl outside. You don't have to worry about the snake, the asp. Little kid can just slide his hand down like they try into the asp hole. No problem. It's different in the millennium. But right now it wasn't. So therefore, God is gracious, little by little. When we come now to Judges, little by little, you want a little baby anymore. You want just starting out. You've been given time. And Joshua has died, the elders have died. You have had plenty of time to fix things, and you haven't fixed them. You haven't done what you're supposed to do. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and in this doing that. So, here we go over again, over to Psalm 44. Psalm 44. And they needed to go and dispossess the land, the enemy, get the enemy out, the idols, the idolatry, to get it out, and to replace and to put their own heart and the worship of God right in back in the middle where it belongs, in the center of their life, and honoring and worshiping God. Now, having said that, and remember now, here's the idolatry. And when you think of idolatry, here's idols and idolatry. And you want to remember, where do idols and idolatry come from? Where did they ever come from? Because we look, people don't look for evil in here. People look, and everything isn't so bad out there until someone shoots somebody or something, and then that's evil. So evil is there, out there. But we don't see evil everywhere. God does. We don't. The heart is evil. What do you know about your heart? All humans, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. Galatians 5 and 20 and that. The works of the flesh. What the works? Our old nature. Adam gave it to us. Our old nature. Galatians 5 and 20. What's one of the works of the flesh? Idolatry. Where do you think idolatry lives? In our old nature. That's where it lives. So I say, idol, we got to get them out. That's what they have to do. The idols that are in their heart are surrounding them in the heart of the people. So, having said that, and you know from Ezekiel chapter 14 and that, you're going to sleep yet. You need to turn your Bible maybe. Hang on to 44 and go over to Ezekiel. You know it, but just good to, you're reminding your Bible not to lose it. Ezekiel. Chapter 14. It's easy. Because we don't get walk around blaming everybody for everything. Ezekiel chapter 14. Where do idols come from? The human heart houses idolatry, Galatians, our works of our flesh. We have it, no question about it. And Ezekiel 14, they are facing idolatry later, after the judges. Chapter 14, verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? In other words, should God said, should I listen to them as they do their idolatry? Verse 4. Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. What are you saying to the people? Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols. Where are you putting your idols? In his heart. And putteth the stumbling block, the what you do, how do you express your idolatry, how do you express your idols that you make? By putting an image out there of something, a totem pole or something, and putting the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. And cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. The idols are made by us. And we, philosophy, what is philosophy? All of that, what is it out there? We got all these different things. We think, we write books and do stuff. That's how we think about life, you know. And then we have our idols, our religions. We create them. You can go around and see whatever, and different ways they contemplate and our religious people. That's what we do. Where did it all come from? From us. Where did Christian Science, Mary Baker Grover Patterson, she married five times. Christian Science. Where did it all come from? Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, someone, they wrote a book. Where did Muslims come from? Not Muslims. Where did the Islam come from? Where did it come from? Muhammad. And what was happening in the days of Muhammad, 600 A.D., the church was going down the tubes. The world system was going not good. And there was no opposition. There was no light in the darkness. Israel and the church were dark. And Muslim took advantage of, took advantage of that. And that's where Islam comes from. He wrote his book. He said he had his dream. You know, where does it all come from? People. That's why God says, don't be afraid of any of the gods or any of the idols. They aren't real. They're just what people make up. And they worship them and go to war over them. Hang on now. Having said that, and one of the place, verse 7, for every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up, in other words, I'm going to leave God out of my life, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of iniquity before his face. He makes his philosophy, he writes his book, and reads his book, and holds his book up. He has his idols, totem pole, whatever. Verse 7, the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. I'll take care of it. So God, what have we got? Back over, we got all this idolatry, and idols come from us. That's where we got a problem. So we got to handle that. And here's Psalm 44. Here's an illustration of the frustration of the people of Israel. Here we got a problem. But we aren't solving the problem. We need to solve the problem. Verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us, what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. His history being rehearsed. Verse 3, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou didst favor unto them. The reason we ever beat anybody anywhere was because of God. The reason we got things fixed and the idols and the idolatry and all of the problems, the reason we had got them solved is because of God. God was doing it. Doesn't God have to keep doing it? Yeah. When does it change? When do we go and tackle the devil? What year do you want to think you're going to tackle the devil? What day do you think you're going to get rid of your old nature? But how do you expect to get rid of your idolatry that's in your heart? You aren't going to get rid of it. God has to do it. That's why he died on the cross, to set you free. So you don't have to understand. What are you saying to Israel? God, Israel, please understand, what God's asking of you is something that God is there to do to make happen. God asks you to be saved, and who's going to save you? God is. God asks you to trust him. Trust him, and he'll get you through. Who are you looking? God isn't looking for you to do it. You just said he had to do it. And that's what you're doing. You're trusting God to be God. That's chapter Psalm 44. Sliding down if I can. Verse 4, thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. Sliding along in verse 7. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hath put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long. We praise thy name forever, Selah. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our armies. Here's the saying. God, you helped us with Joshua, you helped us in all of the battles and with Moses and Joshua, and we won. But God, we're losing. We shouldn't be losing. We're saved, using us. We're saved. And our armies, we're losing the wars. We are winning. Verse 10, thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. They take all the plunder, take everything from us. Verse 11, thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and has scattered us among the heathen. God, you have made us like sheep to be slaughtered. Now, that, sliding over if I can, down to verse 20. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Now, yea, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, think of Romans chapter 8. You are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what you do, because the world hates you. The difference is God saves you. Romans chapter 8. God loves you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And you get down the corridor of time. That's what you do. Here it is. Here's the quote way back in Psalm 44. And back then, though, what do they need to do? And then apply it to us. Verse 24. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Awake, verb, verse 23, arise, sliding down again, verse 26, arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. God, please wake up and come to us, see? But in Romans 8, we don't have to tell him to wake up. We're supposed to know. Think of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God. And that's the whole context. If God can be for you, Romans 8:31. If God can be for you, who can be what? Who can be against you? That's the whole point. Israel needed to find it. We already were supposed to be enjoying it as we go down the corridor of time, as sheep for the slaughter. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, and sliding over in the light of that, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 31. Deuteronomy and chapter 31. And in chapter 31, picking up in thought, if I can. Now, what are we looking at? And don't turn there. Judges, chapter 2, 20, 21, 22, 23. And in Judges, chapter 3, 1, 2, 3, 4. What are we talking about? God left the nations that should have been driven out. He left them. He left them to what? To prove, to put on trial. Are you going to fix things or not? And he left the nations there. He left the problem that you have to live with. Now, are you going to work it out with me or not? Or are you going to bear it all the days of your life? And you'll never get anywhere. Never get anywhere. So, in the light of that, and in chapter 31, so therefore, what do you got to do? You got to prove, I want to prove it. We didn't even read it, so sort of jumping ahead in that. I want to test the children. I have to have you go back. Hold your finger right here. Over to Judges. Otherwise, you won't know. Judges. And in chapter 3, Judges 3, 1, 3, 1. Now, Judges 3, 1. 3, 1. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove, there's the word, to prove, to test, to put on trial, to prove Israel by them, by the nations, their idols and idolatry, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. They have never known war. They just lived as if everything has always been this way, as we shared last time. Verse 2. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least, which as before knew nothing thereof. They don't know a thing about war. And life is full of war. The word war has to do to eat with the teeth. Eat with your teeth. What do you do with your teeth? You destroy food, don't you? The most lovely looking tomato and everything you put in your mouth, you go and at war. That's the word war, by the way. That's the Arabic, same too. Arabic, in the by the grinding of your teeth is the difference. By the eating, consuming with your teeth, grinding it up. And here's the Arabic. To do so by the grinding of your teeth. You go and chew it all up and you destroy it, right? The most beautiful little plate that looks good in front of you. And when you're done, boy, you destroyed it. That's the word war. War. What do? You are at war. And you eat the hamburger. Why? Because the hamburger had, anyway, you have to do all that. You have to do it. Eat and be eaten. That's what it is, isn't it? Everything is eat and be eaten. That's all of life. Cows, bugs, birds, bees, all of it except grass. Grass sits there and just enjoys till the cows eat it. You got it? That's what it is. War. If you say, like in James, that you don't have war, don't you know that there's war in your soul? Hang on, don't jump ahead. If you understand that, though, there's war. Your old nature is dead set against everything God wants for good and your greatness. Everything. Your old nature hates it. That's why you have to crucify it. That's why he crucified it. Why? So that you'd be dead. And you don't have to worry about the threats or the fears or the anything of your old nature. That says, it brings up all kinds of rationale to defend, to do something, why you're justified in doing something, and it brings it all up inside of us to do it. It's our old nature protecting us, trying to protect itself so it can exist. See? Instead of saying, reckon yourself dead, thank you. Thank you very much. And let it say what it says and do what it does. But you're going to trust God, your old nature. Now, so they did not know war. They need to know war. Therefore, looking to God and doing so in Deuteronomy chapter 31, they have to learn. You have to learn to love. You learn war. You don't just know war, you got to learn it. Most people aren't fit for war, the bad guys are. We're supposed to understand there's war in your heart, James. Peter, I should say. There's war in your heart. It's a war. It's lusting. Galatians 5. Your old nature, when you get saved, when you're unsaved, as long as you stay unsaved, you fit into the world system, Ephesians 2, 1, 2, and 3. You fit in. And the world's at war, and they do it, but we all live with it. It's our world as we started out. This is the world we live in. We understand it. The news, whether it's in the far off, in the east, in the Near East, Far East, or in California, or in Boston, or here. What difference does it make? It's our world. We're all fighting and doing and wars and what everything going on. That's how we live. Isn't it? We live in it. It's normal. Normal for us. So when I come to know the Lord as my Savior, well, God isn't for that. And so therefore, what's going to happen? God is going to go, Galatians 5 and that, it's going to go and fight you. So you don't have that. So that's why people, if I get saved, I'm going to have to change. Yes, you do. You have to change. How can you get saved and not change? You can't. You have to get saved. And so you've got to change. And your old nature says nothing doing. And you have to fight all the way along. It's war. And the Spirit of God, because you got saved, is going to fight. The flesh is going to, they're going to fight. And you say, well, I don't have any of that in me. I can do whatever I want to do. Well, then you have to question, well, where are you then? How can you? You can't do whatever you want to do any old way. You're going to be convicted. You're convicted. And you don't, well, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm changed. I see differently, think differently. And you will. But you're fighting. It's a war you're going through. And you gotta, in the beginning, remember what we said, when the baby's little, you got a little space. But when you're 20 years old and you've had plenty of time to start seeing the problem and you don't fix it, that's not good. That's not good for the heart. Now, having said that, chapter 31, verse 12, gather all the people together, men and women and children, all of them, no matter any age. And thy stranger that is within thee, the people, anyone that's in within hearing distance, within thee, but thy gates, that they may purpose, they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God to observe, to do all the words of this law. Verse 13. And that their children, which have not known anything, they didn't know anything, till they start learning. You have to help them. They don't know. And the children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So we're going to go and look to God to help us. And that's what Israel should be doing, looking and learning. That's what they had to do, to learn to fear God, I should say. And that's what we need to do. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over if I can, in chapter 11. And in chapter 11, picking up, and here's the children again. So you can see the comparison. Chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children. What we just read, you need to help your children who never heard about anything. You've got to teach them. They can learn. But for you that know better, that's this group, the 20-year-olds is aware, but you that know better. Know ye this day, verse 2, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm, and his miracles and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and the king of Egypt, unto all his land. And as I'm reading, just remember, as you think of it, maybe remember they're going to go, they leave Mount Sinai, and they go to Kadesh Barnea in the southern part of Palestine, and they're told to go in and take the land, and they send in 10 spies to check the land, and they go in and they say, Numbers chapter 13, we can do it, said Caleb. We can do it. And the rest of them say, we can't do it. It's this group. You have seen all that I did in Egypt. You lived through these things, you people. You know, and know many of you have died, but you all have been very close to those that knew. Therefore, picking up, please, in verse 4. And what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses and to their chariots, and how he made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what he did unto you in the wilderness until you came to this place. In other words, you knew better. And that's why all of you have died and some of you haven't. You knew better. Thus, ready for war. You got to be prepared. You got to be exercised and fight the wars, little wars. And we shared that. Here's little children. And you want to do, help them. And they have to grow up. Everyone has to grow up, at least, hopefully, a little bit to grow up. We can be adults and never grow up, but we're supposed to grow up. Now, what do you know about growing up? When you grow up, as we've been sharing, God's gracious to this baby, and as you work your way, and you fight and have to grow up. And you fight the battles, and you have to do it. You don't fight the battle when you're 5 years old with the world that you do at 25. When you're 5 years old, you live in the same world, but your fight is definitely with a whole nother realm. At 25 years old, the whole world is a different race, and you fight a different war. You have to earn your way there. And that's why, what's wrong part of our society? We're putting people, young people, into the place of having to deal with evil and bad and everything at an early age. And they aren't ready for it. And they haven't been geared to train. When we grew up, we didn't have, you're going to help me? Yeah, they just hit me. So come and fix your nose, bloody nose, and you go home and work, right? You grow up in it. You all did, wasn't you? Didn't you grow up like that? And you had to live with people. You had to work with them. They cheat, they kneel, they steal, they kick you, they do everything. I've had to do that, all kinds of stuff. Wow, wow. I've been through it. That's what I did. What do you do? That's how you learn to fight. And I learned to fight each age. So when you're 20 years old, you're a little more battle-hardened. Otherwise, you're not able to fight. You weren't educated. You weren't allowed to grow up. We got to protect them. Baloney. They need to fight the dumb world that's around them. And if they can hang in there, and you aren't going to have a lot of friends, you don't need a lot of friends. What is a friend anyway? Someone to play Monopoly with. That's wonderful. No, I say it, you may not understand it. If you look to God in these days, whatever your family background, whatever the circumstances, they're all over the place. Some are horrible circumstances, no question. But if you look to God and work through it, drinking and drugs and everything, and if you work through it and hang in there, you'll be strong and you'll get strong. And by the time you're 20, if the Lord tarries, you'll be one kid, a boy or girl, I'd like to know. You're going to survive. The kid that's having to give in to anything, everything, isn't going to survive. You got to be a fighter. What are you saying, God said? They don't know war. And if they don't know war, they're going to lose. Because there's war. War is everywhere. And you have to fight it. You have to go win. Understand it. And you get your bumps and bruises and everything. That's what you got to do now. Having said that, chapter 20. And God, what are you going to do? We won't get very far here. But chapter 20. About war. They had to go to war, and they would go to war. Chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, in other words, great armies, a million people sometime, a million in the army that you're facing. That's a lot of people. It's like facing China. You know, a million. Wow. And a people, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God got you through Egypt, didn't he? And then you're going to trust God to keep going. And that's what you're going to do. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, the war is on, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. What are we going to say to them? Thou shalt say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them. We already did that all over the place. God kept telling him, you don't need to be afraid. Don't need to be afraid. And in verse 4, and the Lord your God, and the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And that's what he's going to do. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. But we are all of the same mind. And God, you know that back then, Second World War and all that, the people lined up, as you know, lined up. The next day, that was on Sunday. The next day, the recruiting office, the lines were there. We're going to go take care of our country. We're going to fight for the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Wow. Now, having said that, here they are. They're going to go to war. Now, God, can we have? You got to have people. You can't have. You got to have good, a good unity, a good, when the SWAT team, whatever you call them, the army, the police, they go out as a unit, they're trained. They're trained to handle riots, they're trained to handle situations that the average cop can't, policeman can't do. They're trained to do it. That's what they're trained for. And they have to have, you have to have a unity. And my life's dependent on your life. My life, each life on our lives. So man, it isn't like my wife. My wife and my children are one thing. But this relationship is another. And we are giving ourselves to each other as a team, as a unit, to go in and battle, whatever the cost, aren't we? That's what we're doing now. So here we are looking to God and doing that. So God, having that attitude, but can we just put anyone in the SWAT team? Anyone in the Green Berets? No. Verse 8. I'll even read verse 7. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, and lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? God just told you not to be faint-hearted. Let him go and return unto his house, lest the brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. In other words, I'm afraid. I drop my gun. I turn around and run. And that sets the pace. What are we supposed to do? Turn around, drop our gun, and run? No, you've got to have everyone on the same page. That's what you got to do. And God said, if you aren't going to go to battle, stay home. Stay home. Don't bother. I just want people that can go win. David, you're just a young boy. I can't even get into it. David, what are you going to do? You're just a little kid compared to them. And you're going to have to prove the armor. And you're going to have to go against Goliath, isn't he? And all of Israel, including King Saul, who's a head and shoulders tall person. King Saul isn't. None of them are going to go against Goliath. Wow. And here's little David. And here's little David. And there's his brother Eliab says you have to go back to that. Look at it. Anyway, it's time. In the process, what are you going to do? Well, Eliab says, what are you doing here looking at this battle? You're just a little kid. Go home and take care of the few sheep. Few sheep, he emphasized. See, you're the least of in the family. You're the least kid in the family of all the seven. You're the least. Nobody, David. Go home and take care of the handful of sheep that Jesse gave you to take care of for responsibility. Go home. See? And David, as you know the rest of it, don't you? David said, listen, I haven't proved that armor, but I know what. You can't, and Philistines, you can't go and say that about God. You can't defy God. And Israel is supposed to be a winner, not a loser. The believer is supposed to what? Triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14, always triumphing, up and down the streets of Rome, winning. What are we showing? Christ has won the game. He's won the war. He's done it. It's all finished. And we represent what? We don't represent a loser. We represent a winner. And David said, my God's not a loser. My God's a winner. That's why God took David. He believed God. David, you're nobody. No, it isn't a question of me, said David. It's a question of God being God. So what are we trying to say in this little bit of time? God said, listen, I'm going to leave all the bad guys to test you. I want to see what you're going to do with all the evil around you. I'm going to prove you. Are you a fighter and winner, or are you a loser? Take your pick. You see, I get to quit. Our Father and God, we thank you very much. God, it's a wonderful thing as we journey. We're going to go home and sleep and work and home and school and easy things, hard things, not good things, doesn't matter. God, we're going to go and trust you to get through it all. Battle by battle, inch by inch. God, we're going to fight and win. We may lose, but we're going to go fight again till we keep winning. And God, that's what we're going to do. So God, you've got to help us. And we'll thank you very, very much for doing so. And God, thank you. Thank you, God, for yesterday and for Israel and all that lies ahead for them. And here we are, God. Help us in a day when there is no help to be found in the world system. In the church is unfortunately not as much as it should be. So God, help us to be the winner, winning and being proven that God, you're able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to your wonderful power, your wonderful grace, your awesome mercy that allows us to be sheep for the slaughter in the midst of the wolves. And our God, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.